Hello everybody, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. In this episode of OT Conversations, I would like to have a discussion about impeller device. Ooh, it's like impale, isn't it? Impeller device, this is a specialist device. Not a lot of therapists would come across this impeller device because it's usually it can be seen in a heart specialist center. Okay, not all hospitals would have this. So an impeller device is a type of what you would call a percutaneous ventricular assist device, or PVAD. And this is a small mechanical pump that helps the heart pump the blood when the heart's own ability is severely weakened. So what part of the heart pumps the blood around the body? It would be the ventricles, right? So the left ventricle, for example. So when the heart is so weak that it cannot do the pumping, then impeller device is a choice for our specialist doctors. It's up to them. They make that choice. What they want to do, it's up to them. Not for occupational therapists to decide on. Okay, what is this? This impeller device is catheter-based microaxial blood pump. Micro, it's small. Axial, so there's a small axis blood pump. And it is inserted through a large artery, usually the femoral artery or sometimes the axillary artery. And then whoever puts it in, it will find its way onto the left ventricle. And the tip of this sits across the aortic valve. And it draws the blood from the left ventricle and it injects it into the ascending aorta. Wow, it's like a suction, isn't it? It's a pump. How it works then? How does it work? It's amazing, isn't it? These devices, so specialized. Whoever invented it, I should look up as to who invented it. More on later, I guess. What it does is that it reduces the left ventricular workload by taking over some of the functions, the pumping actions of the left ventricle, the pumping responsibility. Because at the end of the day, the left ventricle is the one that is causing the ventricles to pump. And when it does that, and if it can't do it, so it's too tired, then the impeller device is an assistive device for the heart. And it provides a forward flow of up to 5.5 liters per minute, depending on the model of the impeller device. And when it does this, it will improve the perfusions to the vital organs, because the vital organs, all the important organs, the kidney, the liver, the brain, they all need the blood, right? And this impeller device allows the myocardium to rest and to recover while maintaining a systemic circulation. What are the uses? Clinical use, okay? So you don't use this every day outside critical care. It is an intensive care device. What are the clinical uses for this? Cardiogenic shock. Yeah, most of the time after a myocardial infarction, so that's one. Medics can use it on high-risk PCIs, which is percutaneous coronary intervention, and it stabilizes the circulation during complex coronary procedures. And sometimes these can be a bridge to recovery or a bridge to make a decision for the doctors. It gives doctors time to make a decision at the end of the day. It buys them a little time. And it supports the patients until, either they have recovered or the situation has been escalated to ECMO or to LVAD, or a decision for palliative care has taken place. So it is, as you would say, almost on the in the race of severity, where gold is like ECMO, for example, or BIVADs. Silver is the BIVAD, ECMO would be the gold. This Impella would have been the bronze, right? So there are different models, 2.5, which provides up to 2.5 liters per minute of flow. You have the Impella CP, I don't know what it stands for, approximately 3.5 to 4 liters per minute. Impella 5 or 5.5, up to 5.5 liters minimum, usually surgically implanted via the axillary artery. And if it's axillary artery, man, imagine axilla. Where's the access for that? Yeah, it means that there will be some problems with arm movement in there. That is when it becomes significant to occupational therapy. Impella RP for the right ventricular failure. So it pumps the blood from the right atrium to the pulmonary artery as well. What are the good things about this? Well, not to me as occupational therapist, but what would be a good thing for this, according to some of the clinicians, which would be medics and interventionists? It's rapid insertion at the bedside or at the during cath lab. And it provides immediate circulatory support. Unlike intra-aortic balloon pump or IABP, it will provide an active forward flow, not just an afterload reduction. Again, those terminologies, very technical, doesn't matter to me at the end of the day. It's good, yeah, but because of what it says in the tin, yeah. You can just look it up. There will be lots of resources out there. What would be some of the risks? A person could have vascular injury. A large bore hole is access is required. A person can have bleeding or and hemolysis, meaning hemoblood lysis, destruction of blood because of the continuous blood flow. You can have a limb ischemia. The limb did not receive blood supply, particularly when somebody's had, you know, femoral artery placement. And that can cause amputation, which will be a problem, but the person is alive, you know. So this, but there's always risk. The main thing is to save the person's life. Good thing that we are not on that front line as occupational therapists. Infection and thrombosis can be a problem. And so an anticoagulation is required. And this can only be used generally for days to a few weeks. When it comes to occupational therapy and the relevance of it, as an occupational therapist for us, remember that patients with Impella are usually in critical care. Okay, if you see somebody on Impella in a general ward, give me a call. I'll have an autograph or I'll find something, because usually that is in critical care. Very rarely it will be in a regular ward. Mobility is restricted because of a large femoral access. So if it's a femoral access, find out. You cannot move the leg, so you can't do active ranges where you have to move the legs in terms of moving the range of motion, but you can still do some co-contraction, I guess. You can stimulate the muscles, like the gastrocnemius, for example. Some of the muscles, like the what you can reach behind, the hamstrings, you can stimulate that. Because if the legs don't get stimulated over a period of time, it gets weaker, and you just have to manually do that therapy. Okay, now, should OTs be doing that? It's one of the tools of the trade, which is massage stimulation. I've been saying that. As only if you can justify it. If it's an insurance base, they won't say you can do it if you just do that. But you can say in preparation for ADL retraining, then yes, that's done within the reason. But just know the safety parameters, which we will be talking about later on. Once you've stabilized, once the person is stabilized or bridged to another therapy like LVAD or transplant or recovery, OT may support early functional rehab like bed mobility, for example, sitting tolerance, self-care, engagement. Person needs to be able to engage. Education about energy conservation and device awareness is important during recovery transitions. Person might ask about it or they might not want to know about it. But know that somebody who's had this means that the heart is having difficulty pumping. And so it can be tired. So the person can be tired. Generalized fatigue. So activity modification is something that will happen, needs to happen, but once they're out of critical care. So in critical care, you can do supportive occupational therapy. You can do what I call an advocate occupational therapy program that we have. You can do a supportive or active OT program. Active OT, meaning you engage them while they're in bed. Find something to do. Go do puzzles and crafts, the wonderful things that you can do. Stimulate the mind, guys. So many things you can do with this. All right. So, what would be the precautions for Impella device? First and foremost, access site precautions. Strict bed rest sometimes is prescribed, particularly if it is inserted on the femoral artery. Sometimes a person may not be allowed to bend that artery, or I meant bend the hip. So, no hip flexion. And no mobilization until the device is actually removed. Or sometimes if it is placed via the axillary site, then you'll have to be mindful of that as well. Nurses will always be checking for bleeding, hematoma, limb ischemia. This is one of those things that they will monitor regularly. And they will monitor pulses, whether the feet's getting cold. And sometimes patients are asked to avoid repositioning that might dislodge the catheter. So imagine the discomfort. Jeez, you can't move. So that's the access site precaution. You can have device and positioning precautions, meaning you should not do activities that will kink, that will pull or will compress the catheter tubing because it is very, very essential. So the Impella pump must stay in the correct left ventricle, actually, ventricle aortic position. So it should be there in where it should be. So movement and dislodgement can cause arrhythmia, regurgitation, or loss of flow. So this is really, really delicate. Okay, guys, okay, don't be a hero. Don't move them if you are not sure. Sure, you can touch the hand. You can give the forearm a rub. You can give it a gentle squeeze, but don't do any of those big range ROMs. Don't do resistive activities on that hand, okay, and the hand where it's inserted or on the leg, okay? But there are still parts of the body that you can access. That's why I am encouraging you to know your basic foundational anatomy. Okay? That's essential for you guys. There will be anticoagulation precautions, which meant that patients are kept on systemic heparin. But there will also, because they're on blood thinners, they're at high risk of bleeding. It can be GI bleeding. It can be intracranial bleeding or bleeding on the access site. Medics and nurses will do that. That's why it's intensive care medicine, right? And doctors are watching for hemolysis, meaning there's a dark urine And this happens because there is an increased plasma-free hemoglobin. Okay. Hemodynamic precautions. They will always monitor the mean arterial pressure. They'll monitor the cardiac output, the device flow. They would be avoiding hypotension. The device relies on adequate preload, meaning it relies on on appropriate blood supply. Yeah. So the nurses would avoid dehydration or sudden volume loss, which can compromise the support. Infection will always be a problem, particularly if there is a wound. So just remember that. Okay. So when it comes to mobilization and rehabilitation precautions, particularly with OTs and physios, remember, femoral access, usually no out-of-bed mobility when it's that. The therapy is limited to bed-level activity. So you can do cognitive stimulation. You can do some cognitive ADL retraining or cognitive ADL retraining in bed. What can be done? Well, I guess brushing the teeth, hair combing, a bit of a grooming. Yeah. Energy conservation. You can start educating them about that. But is it too early? Is it too soon? If you're running out of things to say, that's something that you can start talking to the patient if it calls for it, but you can. That's for the femoral access. For the axillary access, some carefully supervised sitting or standing or even ambulation or walking may be permitted, but depending on the team's clearance. So this is where it's all an MDT decision. The doctors would want to do that. If they say they can, then the physios will. Then they can start mobilizing. And if they're sitting down, you can use that one arm. That's good. Or you can use the arm as long as you don't move the shoulder. Meaning activities should be on a lap level. Always confirm with the critical care or the cardiology team before you move the patient. So don't be a hero, guys. Protect the line at all times. The therapy should never compromise a device position. Therapy can wait, but therapy should not be avoided. It is a balanced risk. In short, when it comes to Impella, protect the access site. That's one. Prevent device dislodgement. That's number two. Bleeding, hemolysis, infection. These are the standard things that people will be keeping an eye on. But you're an OT. You don't need to do that. The nurses will do that. If you're going to do something, coordinate with the intensivists, the cardiology doctors, the cardiology team before attempting any movement. Okay? But think about it. All right? Analyze the problem. Analyze the situation. Analyze the movement. Analyze the precautions, and the precautions would be on the arm precaution and the leg precaution. Then adapt your activity based on what you've got, right? There we go, guys. I hope you learned a little something today. I hope you enjoyed this. If you enjoyed it, talk to your friends about it. Learn together, grow together. Have this wonderful discussion over a cup of tea. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.